Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:12. Here we go.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Show number 1044. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, and 312-981-7200. By text or by phone, always reachable here. Or you can call me in the car if you have my number. I realized I was almost out of gas when I was coming in this morning and just stopped to put gas in the car before the show. And it feels like winter for the first day. It's wind. It's cold.
The wind is crazy.
It's windy. It's cold.
Yeah, I don't know how many garbage cans I dodged this morning.
Really?
Were they chasing you? It was garbage day in my area.
Yeah, same here. They're all over the place.
What a mess. And the branches. And, you know, you're kind of in automation when you're driving.
I'm not, early this morning, watch out! I'm not, I don't know. I'm not telling you what to do. You're a grown-up, I assume, if you're listening to the show. But it would seem that the nice thing to do is on a day where you know garbage is the next day, it would be to somehow weigh down the lid of your can or not bring it out till the morning.
It was windy last night, so we all knew there was wind.
Yeah.
And so these people put their garbage cans out too early, and they're all over the place. And then the animals get in everything. You know, it's quite
amazing. Dave's house, that's dangerous, right? Yeah. Because all the critters come out of the woods.
Oh, they're all over the place this morning. I saw a bobcat.
I think you're lucky to be alive.
A bobcat? You saw a bobcat?
No, I didn't see it.
The cool thing about Dave's house is they eventually stop and they break into a Disney song. Mm-hmm. And they just dance around.
It's nice.
Let's do the top six at six, brought to you by American Weathermakers. It goes like this.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Item number one, a big win for the president, but strangely, he's not bragging about it. Trump's travel ban, version 3, was ordered to go into effect or allowed to go into effect by the Supreme Court yesterday at a ruling allowing the third version of the measure to go into effect. Legal challenges in lower courts continue whether or not the Supreme Court would take up another version of the rulings that would come down from this remains to be seen, or maybe the lower courts will just go along now. Time will tell. Next. Governor Rauner did something rather remarkable on Twitter that you just don't see all the time. He said verbatim, "I'm not in charge. Mike Madigan's in charge. And unless Mike Madigan's willing to leave, we have to get him out." Pretty strong stuff.
It was. I'm trying to get in charge, I think is what he said, right?
Well, the specific tweet, I had it and I lost it, and now by the time I find it, it'll be 10 o'clock.
That's what when he was speaking, that's what he was saying.
Yeah, and the tweet this morning was very similar. But the words might be slightly different, the message remains the same. Next. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan's office investigating a bus company that serves the University of Illinois and its students for potential civil rights violations. The latest fallout in response to the company's racially tinged weekend ad that seemed to make fun of Chinese students. Now, I have to admit, I did not see the ad. Has anybody seen the ad?
I have seen the ad.
What does the ad say?
I believe the ad said, when you're on our bus, and I'm paraphrasing, you won't feel like you're in China.
Offensive in what way? Was there a graphic that goes with it?
I don't remember that. I think it was just the print. I did not see a graphic with it.
Because there's still lots of Chinese students at the University of Illinois.
That's how it's been taken, that was the implication.
Seems like a stretch. Am I missing something?
Unless there was something else in the ad that I did not see.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll get a fair take by texters at 312-981-7200 if you can shed some other light on that. And then there's this. Roy Moore is now ahead in Alabama polls by a point or two. The president endorsed the accused sex predator. The RNC then stepped up and said, hey, here's some campaign money. The Republican Party is just unrecognizable now. It's really astounding. At any rate, one of the women accused shares new evidence of a relationship with Roy Moore. Said she was getting some Christmas lights out of the attic, found a box of papers, which included a very nice, super friendly note from the 30-something Moore when she was 17. He at one point recently, and multiple points recently, has claimed that he doesn't know any of these women, doesn't know them, no contact with them. Again, Roy Moore has done nothing to prove that he didn't sexually chase and worse these women. Meanwhile, Representative John Conyers, the Michigan Democrat, 88 years old, been in Congress longer than anybody accused of sexual harassment by several previous employees, plans to announce today that he will not seek re-election. However, he will not step down, according to a relative who intends to run for the lawmaker's seat to keep it in the family. Well, that's a Chicago move, isn't it? Right?
Yeah. And just when is he going to anoint one of his relatives? What is that?
Yeah, it doesn't really work that way.
No.
No. But I suppose if you're Conyers and you could have your son or your daughter or your whoever step in and then you campaign for him, maybe it works. I don't know. Next. Facebook introduced an app for kids 13 and younger, reigniting a debate over how young is too young for social media. Facebook's defense of this is they're watching it, and it's a safe way for these kids to communicate. The rest of the more cynical world says this is just a way for Facebook to hook kids younger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Agree?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I think so.
Although it does give parents a lot of control. I've seen the video of the rollout of this. It does give parents a lot of control.
I guess it could be both, right?
Yeah.
It could be both. It could be good business for Facebook and an actual good application.
Can't you just give them a glove or a hockey stick?
Right, that's what we did, sticks and boxes.
Go outside and be active?
Yeah.
What are you, nuts?
I know. What was I thinking?
And then there's this. Twitter's out with its most retweeted and liked tweets of 2017. Retweeted and liked tweets of 2017. Former President Obama made the top three. Donald Trump did not make the top 10.
Here we go.
I'm surprised by that.
He's the biggest tweeter there is.
Yeah, well, I'm also surprised by the fact that, you know, there's 40-plus million people who follow him. And you would think, just out of the pure insanity of his Twitter feed, that people would have been retweeting it to a level where he would have been top 10.
There's an estimate, though, that about half of his followers are actually bots. They're not real people.
That's cool talk for robots. Yeah, fakes, right?
Fakes, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was at 10 minutes that his Twitter account was offline. Maybe that hurt him in the running. There you go. That's your top six. Brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. And let's get traffic for Mary.
The Steve Cochran Show.
The prospects for containment are not good. Really, Mother Nature's going to decide when we have the ability to put it out, because it is pushing hard with the wind.
Everything I own is right here on this property, so my whole life's here, so I wasn't about to... We put a lot of embers that could have burnt the place down, so we just decided to stay, me and my two sons and a friend and his girlfriend. We decided to hang it out.
Fire is spotting well more than a quarter of a mile, so that's over 1,000 feet. So any fire break that we might cut, any roadways that might be in the way, are easily jumped over by the embers that basically are just spotting so far out in advance of the fire.
It was like daylight out here. This place was really lit up good.
Ventura, California, right in the target zone. Maybe in the worst spot for the latest in California wildfires. Our friend Alex Stone from ABC News joins us. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, Steve. Good morning. And you heard them talking about the embers there. I right now am next to an apartment complex, a large apartment complex that has been burning now for a couple of hours, about four or five stories high, a city block long, and the entire thing has just been raging. One of many buildings, about 150 buildings that we know have been destroyed so far, maybe many more than that. And the embers have just been raining on us here, incredibly smoky. But those hot embers, as I look around, they're flying everywhere in 70-mile-an-hour wind gusts, and they just hop over. There's no fire line that firefighters can dig. They just jump wherever they want to go, and they're starting spot fires everywhere.
And that's in Ventura?
Yeah, I'm in downtown Ventura, and A number of homes have been lost here. We've been watching firefighters. They really can't do a whole lot. Now, on the ground, they can't get out in front of this thing. In the air, it's too windy to get choppers up and over it dropping water. And when they do drop water, it just sprays off wherever they didn't expect it to go or intended to go, and it doesn't do any good. So all air resources are grounded at the moment. Firefighters here on the ground, they're just doing what they can to spray nearby buildings, trying to keep them from going up in flames. But quite a few homes have been lost here this morning.
Is it late in the fire season for this? Because there literally is a fire season in California. Is it late now for this?
Well, yeah, sort of. But really, the fire season doesn't exist in Southern California anymore. I mean, we have fires in January. We have fires in February and in December now. That this is kind of a year-round thing. And what's pushing this is the wind, and it's incredibly dry. It's not that hot by California standards. It's in the 50s, and that's pretty cold. And in 70-mile-an-hour winds, it feels even colder. I mean, I've got a fleece on underneath our fire gear that we have to wear here, and it's pretty chilly out here. It's not the normal summer, you know, 100, 110-degree weather, but it doesn't matter because it's so dry and it's so windy. And, Steve, the tough part of this is these Santa Ana winds are expected to stick around through the end of the week. There is a chance that this is going to continue raging all week long, and no telling where else fires are going to pop up this week in Southern California with 70-mile-an-hour winds.
Well, the geography of this fire in Ventura means what? Where would it go next, and what else is under threat?
Well, the downtown section here is on the eastern side of Ventura, so it's got to go through all of the rest of Ventura to make it to the Pacific Ocean. And it's also somewhat, just looking at the smoke here, pushing north, which is towards Santa Barbara. It would have a long way to go to get to Santa Barbara. There's a lot of open space, and then Montecito and some other areas, Carpinteria, that are between here and Santa Barbara. But it's heading in that direction and out toward the ocean. Out toward the ocean is good, but to get that far, it would have to go through a lot of neighborhoods, and that's what firefighters are trying to prevent from happening.
The cost monetarily to these structures and real estate and things of that nature is significant, but what about people? Everybody's okay so far?
We know one person is dead in trying to evacuate, but we don't know about the others. You know, you think of Santa Rosa back in the beginning of October, that firestorm, we didn't know about how many were dead until many days later. It's just too soon right now. No telling. I mean, in this apartment complex I'm looking at that probably had 100 units, no telling who's inside there right now. Same with all of the homes that we've been watching burn, unfortunately. The one person known to be dead was trying to evacuate and rolled their vehicle in the evacuation. But all night long, all the power is out in this whole area, from the town where it started in Santa Paula to here in Ventura up into Santa Barbara. Everything is out. And all night long, it's just been a steady stream of people trying to get out of here as quickly as they can. The only light is coming from the flashing red lights of fire engines and the incredible orange glow from this fire everywhere. It's already up. It started last night. It's already over 31,000 acres.
Wow.
This thing is massive, and it's just creating a huge glow over this entire area.
Any effect to air traffic at this point?
Not that I know of. They may be routing airliners around, because this is part of the way that typically, if you'd be coming down the coast, that you'd come down to LAX. They may be moving them around some of the smoke. I don't know how high the smoke is going. In these winds, the smoke is probably staying pretty low because it's immediately getting picked up in the wind and being driven versus a plume going up, and they would have to route around. But there's a potential it's having some kind of impact.
There's a huge national forest north of Ventura, but that's too far north to be in the problem area here?
Well, nothing is too far north at this point. This thing has been running so fast, just like what we saw in Santa Rosa, running far faster than humans can run. That's why they can't get firefighters really out in front of this. Anything is a potential at this point, and they're going to try their hardest to make sure it doesn't get into the National Forest or up into Santa Barbara and Montecito, but it's really not up to the firefighters. It's
right
up to Mother Nature at this point, what's going to happen. These winds make it almost impossible to stop this thing.
Alex Stone, ABC News. This fire is said to be spreading at a football field a second. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
All right, be safe. Thanks, man.
You got it. Thanks, Steve.
That's Alex Stone from ABC News. A football field a second.
Unbelievable.
Incredible winds.
I mean, how do you get out of the way of that?
That's it. You can't run fast enough to get out of the way of it. So It's amazing we've only lost one life so far. It's 6:30, back with the big story in just a moment. Andrea's off for a couple of days. Vic's in for her next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
All right, 6:41 now. Sponsored by Allstate, time for Kid of the Week. Believing good starts young and working towards inspiring the next generation of leaders, that's Allstate's mission. In the spirit of that, you can help us recognize any youngster, any youth. Dave, remember when you were a youth?
Barely.
Yeah, me too. That goes above and beyond for the community. Our Kid of the Week, it's an Amazon gift card, Lou Malnati's Pizza. That's all well and good, but the important thing is to be able to tell the story. And tune in every Tuesday morning to hear the Allstate Kid of the Week. And joining us now in studio, Monica Gutierrez. I hope I'm close on that.
No, you're right.
Okay. And Dominique Delvalle?
Delvalle.
Delvalle. So close. Lean right into those microphones if you both would. Appreciate that. And Monica, you were the nominator here. So yes. tell me why our friend Dominique ought to be the Kid of the Week.
So I've had the pleasure of working with Dominique for the past 2 years through MCVA Challenge, which is an organization that was founded about 20 years ago. It promotes civic action and democracy within young people. Mm-hmm. And Dominique participates in the CPS Student Advisory Council, which is one of our youth policy making councils through MCVA. We work with CPS, the Chief Education Officer, Janice Jackson, to create youth-led policy change, and Dominique has been one of the most exceptional students that I've ever been able to meet. They go by they-them pronouns, and they support, they've participated in MCVA Challenges Project Soapbox, which is a speech writing competition for the past 4 years. So
very important piece of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, every year of their high school career, they've participated in it, around subjects around the LGBT plus community, mm-hmm. as well as created an initiative through our council to create a pathway for CPS students from third and fourth grade all the way through college with different supports, as well as they just created a workshop on different gender identities to present to our council, but as well as in a conference that we had this past weekend for CPS where 300 students were present.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. By the way, Dominique, jump in on this. This is more than just anti-bullying, then. This is about, can't we all get along and let's all try to understand each other a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what rings for you?
Yeah. So for me, it's about, you know, creating like an understanding of different identities, as well as, you know, making sure that we know how to treat different, like different identities, different people. So it's not only about like making sure there's a safe space, but also making sure that we can commit to that and like have an understanding of these different people and what it means to be LGBTQ+.
Well, I was either one of you jump in on this. I feel like there's reason to be optimistic that your generation, my kids' generation, Dave's kids' generation, we're finally starting to get it. You know, and there's certainly labels that still get thrown around, but less labels, less hurtful labels than ever before. Am I wrong to be optimistic?
Not necessarily. I think that there is a lot of like controversy, but it's still gradually we're progressing. And, you know, it's always going to take time and it's always going to take us going out and making it a possibility. So it's not wrong to be optimistic. It's just a matter of finding people who are willing to do the work.
Yeah, it takes more than optimism.
And I think that workshops like Dominique's, where they're sharing knowledge with other young people, so it's not only like creating the safe space, but sharing knowledge with other students on how to interact and how to deal with those different identities is really important, so that other students know moving forward how to address issues that surround the LGBT community.
How old are you, Dominique?
I'm 17.
So junior in school?
Senior. Yep.
Are you going to do a college thing, or you don't know yet, or what are you planning on?
Yeah, I am actually planning on going to college soon.
And what do you want to study?
I actually want to be a pilot.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Like a commercial pilot?
Yeah.
Like Dave and I could be on your plane someday?
Eventually, hopefully.
Oh, I'd feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. Full fare ticket for you, mister.
Oh, no question about it. Stuff. No question.
It's, you know, at your young age, there has to be people that motivate and inspire you. Obviously, Monica is one of them, and Monica's friends as well, or groups that she talked about as well. But who else? Who else in your life? Who else in your family?
Well,
motivates or inspires?
A big motivator would be probably my older brother. He's always been there for me, and you know, he makes it a point to like show that he's proud of me going out and using my voice and trying to make a change in the world. And then just a lot of my teachers have been really supportive of me, and like make it a point to like give me that safe space where I can just be myself. There's tons and tons of people. Like, the list goes on. I mean, it depends on what aspect of my life you're asking about, right. Honestly.
Well, no, I just think it's great to recognize other folks as well in the midst of all that you've accomplished at such a young age. Dave, say hi to our friend Dominique.
Well, Dominique, when you're with your peers, I mean, do they kind of get it that you want to take a leadership role and change the world here at the age of 17?
Honestly, yeah, I'd say so. I make it a point to like be around people that are, as driven. So like my best friend, she's in like a lot of the same clubs, and she makes sure to like, you know, boost me up when I need it. And she's an amazing leader and just like, encourages me to, you know, continue looking for different leadership roles. So, yeah.
Monica Gutierrez, again, is director of the MCVA Challenge Student Advisory Council. How are we doing on funding? I mean, you know, some schools are funded better than others, and that can be a part of making sure these programs live or die.
Right. And so we are partially funded through CPS. MCVA Challenge runs a council for CPS, but it is a CPS-owned council. We work in partnership because, you know, funding is always going to be an issue, sure, especially now. But this past summer, students actually did research around the issue, how do young people have an input in how resources are allocated to fairly impact all CPS young people.
Right.
And Dominique was a really huge part of one of the recommendations that we went up to Janice Jackson. And it was surrounding creating a tool for students to better understand the budget and how it works so they can advocate for different changes. We found that a big reason why students are not allowed a seat at the table is because it said that they have an implicit bias, or they don't know enough information to actually create any decisions. And so
that makes me laugh, because who's more biased than adults who have had a longer time to develop their biased agenda?
Right. And so this recommendation that Dominique helped to develop, it gives young people all the knowledge that they need to make better informed decisions than adults even have the training for.
Well, who do you learn from, Dominique? I mean, you seem like a very well-grounded individual. You're funny. I could tell that when you walked in. But are you willing to listen to others' ideas as well in the midst of all of this?
I definitely think I'm very open-minded and being a little humble here.
Well, the reason I ask is because when you have the kind of courage you do to stand up and fight this fight, I think some people in your position might find it tough to hear folks that don't quite understand and maybe need a little more time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had a lot of time to like develop my own ideas as well as learn from other people like Monica and like my teachers. So it's
takes patience, though, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
It definitely takes a lot of patience. And I learn from, you know, once again, my brother, my friends, just how to take time with people, because I would not consider myself a very patient person. But my brother is definitely one of the more emotionally patient people. So he helps me to, like, you know, calm down, be like, okay, not everything is so pressing. And
it's
going to take time.
Sounds like a good dude. I salute both of you. You're doing great work. And, you know, the bumps in the road that come up, I hope you'll be patient at times, but I certainly hope you continue to push forward, because you are changing the world. Both of you.
Thank you.
You should be proud of that. The MCVA Challenge, is there a way the public can help with that?
Yeah, so you can go to mcvachallenge.org, and all of our programs are up on that. You can also follow us on all social media platforms. We're mcvachallenge, and we'd love for people to check it out.
And Dominique, your kid of the week, and I appreciate you coming in. We had a scheduling mix-up last week, and you know, you could have easily, both of you could have easily said, well, that's okay, but you wanted to come in and talk about it. So good for both of you. Mm. Thanks for doing this.
Well, thanks for having us.
Will you save us a seat on the plane?
I don't know. I'd have to get a job first.
Yeah, then there's
there's that.
There's company policy. There's all sorts of things. You know, already understand the ethics of this. Thanks to both of you for coming in, and thanks to Allstate for Kid of the Week. Have a nice pizza. Happy holidays to both of you.
Thank you.
Let's get traffic here. Mary, what do you have? I'm loving it.
Is that right?
Nicely done. And thanks again to Allstate for Kid of the Week. You know why we're loving it, Dave?
Why is that, Steve?
Didn't get a chance to do this appropriately yesterday. I just think it's something that you can't ignore any longer. And that's President Trump's gigantic appetite for fast food. In the new book, Let Trump Be Trump, the two authors talk about what it's like to ride on a campaign plane throughout that campaign. And we've known for a while that the president likes KFC and loves McDonald's. And one of the reasons he loves McDonald's is because he supposedly is a germaphobe. And I'm not quite sure the logic of this, but he goes, at least at McDonald's, you know where the food's coming from. I guess that's the supply line thing.
I guess, yeah.
Right. And certainly, I'm a big supporter of McDonald's, big fan of McDonald's, not knocking McDonald's at all. But this is an interesting menu for a 71-year-old man who readily admits he doesn't exercise. One of Trump's favorite dinner orders packs about 2,500 calories, which is more than an entire day's worth of food recommended for a man his age. Trump's order at McDonald's for at least one of the record-setting meals on the plane was 2 Big Macs, 2 fillet of fish, and a chocolate malted. What's a chocolate malted?
Like a chocolate milkshake?
Chocolate shake, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way he eats all that much.
Malted would be a New York thing, I think. What do you mean there's no way he eats that much?
And fries?
These are the people that are on his team that are saying this.
Oh, come on. When you get older, you tend to eat less.
Well, you're not Donald Trump, young lady.
Oh, man.
A Big Mac has 3 pieces of bread, 2 meat patties, cheese, and the special sauce. Each one of those burgers has 540 calories and 28 grams of fat. The fillet of fish, which features fried fish fillets, cheese, and tartar sauce, add another 820 calories and 40 grams of fat. So you're getting 1,080 calories from the 2 Big Macs, 820 calories from the fillet of fish, and 68 grams of fat before you get to the chocolate shake, which is another 530 calories and 15 grams of fat.
That's more than the recommended daily amount, isn't it?
For a moose.
Are you sure this isn't like lunch and dinner?
Nope, one meal.
He ate that every day?
No. This was the record-setting meal.
Wow. Oh, okay.
No fries still, right?
No, I think he had fries there as well, though. I don't see it listed here on the...
You gotta have fries.
That's the best part.
Yeah, the perfectly salted McDonald's fries.
You would just want to go probably take a nap for like...
Well, that's the thing I don't understand. How would you have energy to tweet?
Yeah.
After that? You think your entire body would start to shut
down.
Does
he not exercise at all? I mean, aside from playing golf, is that it? And he rides...
Yeah. Now, you can burn calories doing that as well, but it's not this kind of calorie burn that you need from this many.
No.
Now, you remember, I don't know if you remember, during the campaign, he said he feels like the way he moves his arms and hands when he does speeches burns calories.
I'm sure that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when you're tweeting, you are exercising your digits.
His thumb and index finger have got to be incredibly strong.
You know, when you move your hands like that, you do almost knock off on your Fitbit. If you keep moving your arms the way he does, he probably has a lot of steps on his Fitbit just because of that arm movement.
Well, a man of 70, man of 51, man of 31, you can't do that forever without paying a price. And though I don't think there's any reported heart disease in his family, he may be the first So one more thing to chalk onto your list of concerns about this president, if you're so inclined, is love of fast food. And if any of you have done that in one meal, wow.
You know, but the Diet Coke cancels it all out.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yeah. The large Diet Coke makes everything zero. That's it. We'll take a break, come back, get to the news top of the hour, and then continue into the 7 o'clock hour.
Live Jesse from the White's Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
720 WGN. 7:13, we've reached that time of year again where Dave's going to climb the towers.
Well, not just yet.
Not one, not two, not three, not four. But aren't you building your team soon?
I think here at WGN, we're building our team.
Yes. And aren't you the captain?
I think I'm the captain again. Yeah.
And isn't the American Lung Association the beneficiary of all of this?
Yes, they are. The Fight for Air Climb comes up March 11th. So we have a little time still for that.
But it's a great way to look like it's a casual segue to introduce Kristen Young.
That's the idea.
In studio. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me back.
Nice to see you again.
Happy holidays.
And to you. Got plans? What are you going to do? Staying in town, running away?
Yep, heading a little bit up north, Lake Forest for the
Away
the
north?
Yeah, about 45 minutes north. Yeah, way
yes.
north, way
yeah.
north.
Did you grow up there?
No, I grew up in Normal, Illinois.
Oh.
Mm-hmm, a couple hours south.
Yes. All right, now that we've got all of you down for the holiday, what do you want for Christmas?
Oh, who knows?
Are you tough to buy for?
2,000 people to climb in a stair climb. How about
oh,
that?
Oh, stop it. Are you tough to buy for?
No. Not at all.
Really?
No.
Well, maybe your fiancé is listening, so let's throw some ideas out. What do you want?
Oh, diamonds.
Diamonds?
What else do I want? Sure.
Emeralds?
Yeah.
Pearls?
Yes.
Okay.
All of the above.
So fine jewels
yeah.
of all kinds.
Get on that,
All right,
Jason.
That seems right. Yeah. What does Jason do?
He's a realtor.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Does he have his own TV show? I thought that was part of the thing now with real estate. You have to have your own TV show.
No, but we watch it. Well, I watch it. He does not exactly agree with it.
Oh, is that right?
Makes it look a little too easy, I think.
Yeah, there's a little more involved, I
yeah.
suppose.
Yeah.
So when you watch it, do you mock him? Do you go, how come you can't do that?
Basically.
Yeah, okay, just check it. All right, so the Fight for Air Climb is when?
It's Sunday, March 11th, the Presidential Towers, presented by United Healthcare. We also have a climb that's a little bit before February 10th at Oakbrook Terrace Tower out in the suburbs.
What is this, like a warm-up climb?
Yeah, and it's 31 stories. You can climb it one, two, or three times. Presidential Towers, as you know, Dave, 585 stairs a tower for four towers. So, yeah, it can be a little bit of a warm-up.
So it's like the half marathon getting you ready for the marathon.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Is this the first time you've done Oakbrook?
No, this is actually the 27th year of Oakbrook.
Oh, so that's been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
But in it to win it, and the team in WGN has really kind of focused their energy on the downtown climb, which is great.
And what do you do with the money when you raise it?
Goes to all of our events and programs here in the Chicagoland area, helping everything from asthma, COPD, lung cancer, some of our environmental programs, and really getting the word out there and spreading awareness around lung disease and ways we can prevent it and ways we can really find a cure at the end of the day.
There's a remarkable amount of people that deal with this, right?
Right. Over 1.3 people in Illinois alone are suffering from some form
1.3
of lung disease.
Million people.
Mm-hmm.
In Illinois.
In Illinois. Over 32 million across the country. So it's a big deal, and a lot of it is a quote-unquote manageable disease. There's COPD, asthma, lung cancer, certainly the number one cancer killer. So that's something we're trying to get the word out as much as possible for people that have smoked and more people that have never smoked a day in their life. So there's that stigma that we're trying to
sure
negate.
Statistically, what do we know about smokers? Are there less of them?
Yes. Yeah. Drastically less. But the problem now is with e-cigarettes. I think there's kind of a whole new conversation happening. And certainly it's affecting the youth in a different way than it ever has before. So that's something we're trying to kind of get in front of and understand a little bit more about of. But certainly not something we support at all as a cessation tool.
Because you're still taking something into your lungs that's a foreign something.
Right. It's kind of.
I don't want to bog you down with technical medical terms.
Yeah, it's that hand-to-mouth thing. So you start it young, and a lot of these e-cigarettes are, you know, bubblegum flavored and things that are really drawn towards that younger population. And most people start smoking before the age of 18, and this e-cigarette piece is just adding to the problem.
Yeah, so we don't need some 10-year study to realize that this probably isn't the way you want to go.
Right.
Okay. I don't want to sound too get-off-my-lawn-ish, but the other day I pulled up at a red light right down here on Illinois, and young lady, had to be maybe early 20s, with a cigarette hanging out the window. And it just, something about seeing kids that age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because even when I was growing up, I'm a lot old, the word was already out that these will kill you.
Right.
And I just, it still amazes me. Yeah, mm-hmm. It is disappointing.
And it's mm-hmm. a vicious addiction. I mean, people, I've never smoked, but I was around, my parents were nonstop.
Right.
So around it the entire time I was growing up, and they tried to quit, well, about every 2 weeks.
They say it takes an average about 7 times of quitting before you actually kind of get the hang of it. But every time you quit, you're that much closer to quitting. So it's not, you know, you shouldn't get bogged down and disappointed by it. It really is. It has a stronghold on a lot of people, and it takes a lot of time and in a lot of different ways, and nobody has the perfect way to quit. So everybody's a little different.
You guys doing a program you'd recommend for somebody that's trying to quit?
We have an online program and an in-person training here called Freedom from Smoking. It's across the country, but if you go to lung.org and click on Freedom from Smoking, there's a lot of great tools and resources, both locally and some national resources that can really help.
And COPD is a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Nice.
Oh,
yes.
There you go.
My father-in-law passed away from COPD.
It's brutal, right?
And, yeah. Oh, it's
brutal. A suffocating
and
thing.
He quit smoking at least 15 years prior to mm-hmm. him getting the COPD. So it affects your lungs for, you know, and he smoked for 40 years prior to that. So,
right.
But my daughter, the way she got him, my daughter was little, and she put his cigarettes in the freezer. She kept doing that. And finally, he got the message, and it was my daughter who got him to quit. It was pretty cool.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's a great story, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel for smokers in this regard, now that it's cold and it's winter again. But again, it's a larger message, I think, to smokers that maybe it's time to quit, whatever it takes to quit.
Right.
Smokers are ostracized now like they're lepers. You know, where do smokers mm-hmm. end up here? Down on the loading dock, right?
Right.
They're shivering
right.
out there when it's 40 below.
There's that one heat lamp down there, or the vent where they all huddle.
Yeah. If you can quit, you should quit. And it's easy for somebody that doesn't smoke to say that. But there's very few things we know conclusively. We know it's really bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can stop, you ought to do it.
Exactly.
See? Genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. What about this donate your car thing?
So this is a great program that we've had for years where it's funny today as it gets a little bit colder outside, I'm reminded of the years when I was scraping off my car in the street for mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. hours and hours. But it's a great program that if you're looking to donate a car at the end of the year, we have a great program where we work with a third-party company, and within 48 hours, they'll come out and tow your car. And typically about $500 to $600 goes back to the Lung Association per car.
That's
so
a big deal.
It's a great end-of-year donation that you can make. You can visit 1-800-LUNG-CARS or lungcars.org to find out more information. But again, 48 hours, right? It's quick.
And you get a tax deduction.
You get a tax deduction, yeah. So if you're looking to do it before the end of the year, by all means, check out the website.
It's funny, you don't necessarily think if you don't have an older car, like, you know, because you hear these donate your car messages from me and other people, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of them out there.
Right, right. And I think there's a lot of people, especially in Chicago, that have a car, but do they use their car all the time? And, you know, if it's just kind of sitting there and more of a pain than anything, it's a great way to kind of donate it and avoid the tickets, avoid all the things that you get around this time of year. And
Dave has a newer car, but I called yesterday and donated it.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's all part
He's taking the bus to work.
And do you remember Christmas seals when we were kids?
Oh, sure.
You know you can still buy them?
So I hear.
Yeah. So tell me about that.
So this is our longest running program. It's the first direct mail program ever. It's been around for 110 years.
Wow.
And truly, Christmas seals, the selling of Christmas seals, helped put an end to tuberculosis. So we're going way back here. But all through the American Lung Association, ChristmasSeals.org. They're just those cute little stamps, Decorative stamps that you can put on envelopes around the holiday season. But it's been working for us for a very long time, and happy to say that they're still around this year and continue to be.
Well, nice job by you. And everybody over at the American Lung Association.
Group effort. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I bet she's kind of fun to work for, don't you think? She'd be a cool boss.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. And does a great job.
Yeah. We get a thumbs up from back. Yeah, from back from your posse.
does a great
My
job
people.
Of the Fight for Air Climb.
Mm-hmm.
Again, March 11th.
Yes.
So this is when you ought to be thinking about it, Steve.
10th anniversary, fightforairclimb.org. This is your year, Steve.
I'm going to start and just, I'm doing one floor a day.
Dave and I will train with you, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
You'll train with me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to train with him.
Why not?
Why, you think I'll hurt your time?
We'll help him.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe a little.
Oh, you know, there are elevators.
Dave gets competitive on those stairs.
Yeah. I keep telling everybody involved with this, I go, what about an elevator race? Would it kill you to have an elevator race? Nice to see you. Website again is?
Fightforairclimb.org. If you want to donate your car, lungcars.org.
Yeah, and everything links through American Lung Association.
Correct. Yep.
Right, got it.
Thank
nice
you.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Happy holidays. 722. Mary, what do you got? Alec Baldwin's getting his own talk show on ABC.
Is he really?
Yeah, we don't know when. We don't know if it's a daytime or a late night show, but he has apparently struck a deal to do an ABC talk show, and he'll continue to do his Saturday Night Live Trump work as well.
Cool.
So there's a little late night news this morning as Billy Bush came out of hiding last night and his beginnings of his comeback tour. He was on with Stephen Colbert talking about the Access Hollywood tape and the fact that there's rumors that Trump has been floating some trial balloons behind closed doors about, I don't even know if it was me. Does anyone know if it was me? No one knows. Here's Billy Bush.
He, last week, for some reason, came out with, that's not my voice on the tape. Like I said, you can't say that. That is your voice. I was there. You were there. That's your voice on the tape. And what that does, though, is multiple. I told you about my own personal problem with it. But then you've got 20 women at the time, I don't know what the exact number is because there's more, but 20 women who used their names. We've got powerful people being held accountable now, and sometimes there's anonymous sources. All of these women came out with their names and told their detailed accounts. 20 women don't get together and say, hey, you know, it'll be really fun. Let's take down a powerful guy together. Ha ha. No, they don't. And their names are, and I said, okay. You're reopening wounds on them, too. Enough's enough. Stop playing around with the people's lives. That upset me.
Meanwhile, Colbert talked to Billy Bush about Matt Lauer being fired. Of course, Billy Bush was fired first. How did he feel about the fact that he got fired and Lauer's gotten fired for something much more serious?
How do you feel about NBC firing you? Especially in light of Matt Lauer being fired for allegations of actual sexual impropriety.
I'm going to look. It was a difficult time. It was a difficult time. I think it was very hot emotionally in the country. A lot of people were not comfortable with the man who was close to winning the election, and a lot of things happened quickly. But my boss later, months later, said publicly, I think we may have moved a little quickly.
Yeah, having been fired multiple times, not for that, but been fired multiple times, your boss 4 or 5 months down the road going, maybe it was a mistake. That's really not worth a whole lot.
No.
It's not paying the bills. One more from Billy Bush on the Colbert Show last night.
Matt Lauer controlled that show. He could have protected anybody, and he did famously protect people from being fired on that show. Do you wish he would have protected you?
We had a conversation about that. And he told me that he went privately to the bosses and took that line. And I said, I appreciated it and I accepted it and thanked him.
Okay. So,
yeah,
you believe he did what he could.
Yeah, I would have liked, I would have liked the chance to have been able to address the audience that following Monday, but it was right after the debate. And I think the tape made it in time for the debate. So I didn't get that. I would have liked to have addressed the audience.
You know, look, Billy Bush is collateral damage in all of this. Yeah, does he appear to be a jackass and giggling at Trump's ridiculous grab him by the pee comments? Yeah, but he's just that. He's just the sidecar. Should he have lost his job? No, I don't think so. Should he have been suspended? Sure. Send a message. But the fact that he's still now out of work and the perpetrator is the president of the United States is just part of the an incredibly crazy time we're living in. It's 7:30. We'll come back. The big story. Andrea's out for a couple days. Vic's in for her next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:41. Every time the Secretary of State, Jesse White, walks in, Dave, and you know I'm right about this.
Mm-hmm.
He gets younger.
I know.
I don't know what that's about.
Great.
He makes two or three more visits. He's going to be trying out for the Cubs again. Mr. White, nice to see you.
Yeah, Steve, glad to see you. Glad to be on board.
And happy to have you here. And I know you're not a big fan of you know, me complimenting you nonstop, but aside from being a friend for all these years, You are one of the few people in politics who I never have to worry about. I never have to think twice about whether or not you're doing a good job. And, you know, you brought an honor to the job at a time where there's no honor in politics. And I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Steve. You know, Steve, I spent three tours of duty in the military. I was a paratrooper. I used to jump out of perfectly good airplanes, a guardsman, reservists.
Right.
And I taught school, and I've been a state representative, the Cook County Court of Deeds, school teacher. I've done a lot of things in life, and so I've learned early on that when you take on a job, you should take on the responsibility that goes with it.
Sure. And own what you do.
Sure.
Say you're sorry if you screw up and give other folks credit when they deserve it. All those things that you learn in kindergarten, right? It's like that book.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah. The other thing, too, and I think I brought this up last time you were in, but the Secretary of State's driver's license facilities before you got involved were a punchline. And customer service was a punchline. I actually see folks working now at these facilities that are pleasant. They're happy to see you. You know, they want to get you through the line. They respect your time. I mean, you've created a customer service atmosphere there, which I think is great.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. Customer service is paramount in our office. And then as a Secretary of State, running the largest Secretary of State office in the nation, my mission is to help make the roads of Illinois the safest ever, and every day we work toward that end.
You know, last time my license came up, I did what you had told me to do, made sure that my organ donation was recertified. My wish to do the same. So let's remind people about that before we get to whatever else we're going to talk about.
Well, it's here in Illinois. We have 6.3 million people who sign to become organ donors.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are 4,700 people on the waiting list as we speak, and each year about 300 people die because organs have not arrived in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
We ask that when you're alive and well, give blood. When you're no longer here, give organs. And when you've done those two things, you've made a positive impact on society, considering the fact that one person can provide life or improve the quality of life. And we also want to fight the battle about the myths that are out there. Sometimes an individual will say, while I'm on life support, I choose not to have my organs donated because of the fact they want my organ and tissue donor parts. Or they'll say, because of religious reasons, I choose not to participate. Or they say, well, they're going to sell those organs. We don't sell organs in this country. Or they may say, well, I mean, it look good in my going away. Well, morticians have it down to a science.
Yeah, there's an open casket thing that people go, well, I don't want to be all cut up, to put it graphically. That's not how it works.
Oh, yes. So we're proud of the fact that we're leading the nation in the area of organ donation. And then starting on January 1, 16 and 17-year-olds will be able to sign, become a part of the organ and tissue donor program. And within the first one-year period of time, we expect there to be about another 350,000 individuals signing up to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We ask that when you're alive and well, give blood.
Yeah.
When you're no longer here, give organs.
And I was going to say, the important thing for people to know is if you signed up years ago, you need to recertify that at some point, right? Because the law changed at one point. Remind me.
Well, at one time, when you come into the Secretary of State's office, we'd ask you, would you like to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program? If you'd say yes, you'd sign on the back of your driver's license, have two individuals sign as witnesses, so when that moment arrived, there would be smooth transition. But we found out because of the stress of the moment or the thought of losing their loved one, 20% of those organs were not harvested. So he went to a program called first-person consent, which means now when you sign up, you're in the system until you say you no longer want to participate.
Right. You no longer have to have people still here to back
don't
you
have
up
to have
because
a co-signer.
You co-signer. Well, that cuts to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about registering to vote?
Pardon me?
Registering to vote. What have you done in that regard?
Well, we register a lot of people. So it's a one-shop stop when you come to get your driver's license and your state ID or one or the other or both. We ask you, would you like to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program? And then we ask you, would you like to become a registered voter? It's called motor voter.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do those things, you participate in the process.
In the process. Yeah, which is key. Jesse White's 53rd annual holiday turkey and ham distribution is coming up. When are you doing this?
On December the 15th. I was a public aid recipient as a kid coming up on the north side of the city of Chicago. Came in from Alton, Illinois
right.
at age 7. And we had a tough time making ends meet.
Sure.
And so I committed myself then that once my feet became firmly planted on this earth, that I was going to do something wonderful and beautiful for someone at Christmas. So for 53 years, I have been involved with the distribution of hams and turkeys for needy families, senior citizens, and those in need. And when you do those things and more, you feel a lot better, and life is a lot better for them.
17,000 hams and turkeys.
It's about 17,500 hams and turkeys, to be exact.
Wow. And by the way, Jesse gets all of them himself. He just goes up, he chases them down, he gets them.
So.
That would be a lot of work. 17,500. And who gets these?
Well, the senior citizen, we have about 35 to 40 senior citizen homes that will drop those hams and turkeys off.
That's great.
And then there are individuals who will receive them as well. We'll go door to door. It's near north, near west, and near south sides of the city of Chicago. That's our target area.
And this, again, is the 53rd year. Do you remember how many you gave away in the first year?
I think we started out with about 25.
It's pretty solid growth.
But still, over 53 years, even if it...
And it kept growing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we had more people to support us as well.
Sure.
And see, the more resources we have, the more wealth we could spread around.
We know that there's new listeners to the show all the time, and some people who might know the Jesse White Tumblers don't know the backstory. So remind people how that got started.
Well, I was a gymnast as a kid. I taught gymnastics in college, taught for the Board of Education Park District, YMCA. And out of college, I came to Chicago, back home, and I went to Wrigley Field and tried out with the Cubs, and I was one of the five that they selected. 4 days before going to spring training, I was drafted into the Army, sent to Fort Underwood, Missouri. And then from there, I decided I wanted to learn how to jump out of airplanes. So they shipped me to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. So I went through jump school, did 35 jumps, came back to Chicago, put my uniform in the closet, got my ball bat and glove, and flew off to Mesa, Arizona. And during the off-season, I taught school during the day, worked for the Park District at night, was asked to put on a gym show. And that was the beginning of the Jesse White tumbling team.
When did it start to involve kids who were struggling in school who deserved a break?
Well, in 1959 is when I started the program, but I established some requirements. Number one, you have to be in school on time every day and have one aim in mind, that's to get the best education possible. You have to maintain at least a C average in school.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be leafless, smokeless, and pipeless. The only time you could practice pharmacy is after you've earned a white coat. And then you cannot drop out of school to become a part of SWU, Steve, Sidewalk University.
There you go.
So we have 51 of my 225 young people in college. We give each one between 3,000 to 8,000 toward the education. We do about 1,500 shows a year with 7 units. And we've traveled to Zagra, Croatia, Belize, Israel, China, Tokyo, Japan, Hong Kong, Honolulu, Hawaii, Honokai, Hawaii. 17 times to Canada, twice to Bermuda, twice to the Cayman Islands, 4 movies, 4 plays, 25 commercials.
Globetrotters call Jesse and they go, slow down, we can't keep up.
And then we perform for most of the NBA teams, NFL, sure. We do baseball, tennis, soccer.
These kids are tremendous athletes.
Well, they... We have a training program at my center, which is the Jesse White Community Center and Fieldhouse at 412 West Chicago Avenue.
Okay.
And then Tule Park at 90th and King Drive on the south side.
You have kids that started in this program. I'll bet you have kids that are old enough to be grandparents now.
You're absolutely correct.
And they come back and tell you, I want you to meet my grandchild?
That's exactly right.
How great does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good. And the parents benefited from the program, and now the kids are involved.
Man, that's pretty special.
I don't know how many times I've seen the Jesse White Tumblers perform. I always love it. But there's that moment in the performance when they're lining up for the last guy who's going to jump over all of them. And there's this murmur that goes through the arena or the stadium.
There's one too many.
You just hear it. Or, you know, this air of anticipation. And then when he does it, the place just goes crazy.
It's our way of giving kids an opportunity to use idle time in a positive way and stay away from those negative aspects of life. And when you realize and see what's happening on the west side and the south sides of the city of Chicago, then you understand the importance of this program.
I appreciate the friendship, but I salute everything you're doing. And we need more Jesse Whites out there to bring some honor back to politics as opposed to what we're dealing with now in both parties. So keep up the good fight.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. For people that want more information on all things revolving the multi. By the way, he's not slowing down. I don't know if you noticed.
I did notice. Yeah. Yes.
He asked me if I'd do a somersault when I came in. I said, well, you're going to have to get me a spotter. The 53rd annual Holiday Ham Turkey Distribution is this Friday. And the Secretary of State, Jesse White's group, and all those amazing volunteers are part of the food drive as well. Year to year, how do we help with this?
Well, it's December the 15th.
Oh, I said this Friday. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, next Friday.
You can write a check to the Jesse White Foundation.
That's why I don't work for Jesse. I screwed
org,
that up.
Jesse White Foundation.org, and it's a 501c3, and we recognize the individuals who participate with us.
Okay, and I believe it's the Jesse White Foundation.org for the
website.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. All right, now we're even.
Since you gave the wrong date, you blew your chance to join the Tumblers.
Yeah.
And we want Tumblers, not Stumblers.
Yeah.
He said, Steve, you're Tumbler.
He said I could be the first guy to jump over, not the guy that's doing the jumping.
Right.
How long has it been since you did one of those?
Oh, it's been probably
6 months.
Well, I had to do the headstand and the routine, and I had two knees replaced, so I don't do quite as well as I used to do.
You're getting around just fine from my view.
Oh, yeah.
Great to see you. Merry Christmas.
Glad to be on board. Thanks, Steve.
All the best. Anytime you need us, you know where we are. It's 7:57, and would you like me to talk about that, or would you like me to talk to myself, or what can I do here? Let's go live to Mike in the producer's booth. What should I do here, Mike?
Hi, Steve. It's a little cold in here today.
Okay.
A little windy, too. We've got about 1 minute to talk about whatever you want.
All right, then let me talk about this. LeVar Ball is in the news. Let me go live to Dave at the campus of UCLA, just outside of LeVar Ball's son's former dormitory. And I say former, why?
Because here in Westwood this morning, Steve, the big story is that LeVar Ball, how would you describe him? He's the father of some good basketball players.
He's the father of a terrific athlete who has made it all about himself.
And he has pulled his younger son, LiAngelo Ball, who was one of the three UCLA players. Remember the story a couple weeks ago?
Shoplifting.
They were shoplifting over in China.
International incident.
But the president took credit for getting them released.
And was
by the
very
Chinese
offended that there wasn't a great deal of thank yous coming his way.
Right, and thought that LeVar Ball was not grateful enough to him. And now, because those three players still have not been allowed to play or practice for UCLA, so LeVar Ball has withdrawn his son, LiAngelo, from UCLA, and
he says, his full ride, free ride goes with him.
Yeah, yeah, but they're selling those big baller shoes for half $1 million a pair or whatever it is.
Sure,
and there he says we're not going to sit back and wait. He wasn't punished this bad in China. Now, the
it's a nice message to send.
He said he's not transferring to another school. They're going to get him ready for the draft. Here's the problem. The NBA has very little interest in this kid.
Yeah, well, he's barely played.
He hasn't played, and they say he's not on any of their lists.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty
big
leap.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
By the way, speaking of sports, Dave, if you don't mind, let me go live to you again, this time in Cincinnati.
Let me sign off from L.A.
Oh, go ahead.
Reporting live from Westwood, California.
You're Dave Ennett?
Dave Ennett, WGN Sports.
Let me join Dave now. He's live in Cincinnati this morning after the Monday night football game, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I saw something in this game last night I have never seen ever, and that was the middle of a National Football League game where a defender gave up a touchdown by standing and watching a guy run by him. You know the play I'm talking about? Cincinnati defender. Steelers, I don't remember who the Steelers wideout was. Steelers wideout makes a nice catch. Cincinnati defender chasing him, tries to shove him out of bounds, half misses.
Yeah.
His teammate, the defender, I think he plays free safety, Davis maybe, he stood there and basically gave him the ole as he ran by and then threw up his hands like, how'd that happen? I've never seen a lazier play in my life.
There were a lot of things last night about this game that, and the way the Bengals played has to be a little encouraging to the Bears because they played on Sunday because they fell apart and they lost their composure. And
well, take a look at that play online.
Yeah, I will.
Because you must have been in the restroom. I know you're in Cincinnati.
Well, I was actually looking at the hit that the Bengals safety delivered on Antonio Brown, the helmet-to-helmet, after the hit on Vontaze Burfict Well, the Shazier hit was just that was a clean just a
and this Burfict guy is just a thug. He's
knocked Antonio Brown out of a playoff game
a
couple of years ago. Yeah. So now they're playing the Steelers, and guess what happens to him?
Yeah, one more time.
Yeah.
So, thanks. You're where again?
Reporting live from outside the stadium here in Cincinnati, right by the convergence of the. Or no, that's the wrong city. With Monongahela, that's Pittsburgh. That's Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we'll go there next.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Ohio River.
He's Dave Bennett. Dean's back today, we think, and we'll get to that after the news on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah.
Live from Channel 9. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
We have so much sexual harassment news, you could barely fit it into one show.
We've got 10 pounds of sexual harassment news to put in a 5-pound bag today.
That's exactly right.
Bursting at the seams.
And
if you'll excuse the visual
and
reference.
One of those stories involves a very awkward encounter precipitated by John Oliver on Dustin Hoffman.
Mm.
You know this story, right?
I saw the headline on that a little earlier, yes.
I will be your Cub reporter on this when we come back. But let's talk about some good news first. What do you know about this? At least I think it's good news. What do you know about this Alec Baldwin talk show?
Only that he's going to be getting a TV talk show. That's all. That was apparently part of his deal when he became host of The Match Game that's on ABC, which is actually doing pretty well in the ratings.
He's good. It's entertaining.
Can't compare it to the original.
Here on the radio.
No. There's no comparison. You get a Charles Nelson Reilly. You get a Richard Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
You get
Brett Somers.
Voices cumulatively are deeper than all of ours put together.
Yep.
But anyway, when Alec Baldwin signed the deal with ABC for the game show, they also said that they would work on developing a TV talk show for him, as goes with my theory that I've been talking about for decades now. One day, every man, woman, and child on Earth will have their own TV talk show.
Yeah, and I don't know that TV is ever going to come true. I think we've already gotten there. Everybody has their own show. It's Facebook. Everybody is on Facebook.
YouTube,
everybody.
Right.
Facebook, Twitter,
MySpace.
Whatever. Friendster.
Prodigy.
HeyWhosThatGuy.com.
Right.
I don't know if you're on that. That's what we know about Alec Baldwin, that ABC's probably going to do a show.
Yeah, they haven't announced a date yet. They haven't said what kind of format it's going to be. Really, they haven't said anything except that they're in development for it right now, and apparently it's going to happen because, you know, you barely see Alec Baldwin on TV these days anymore, aside from the game show and Saturday Night Live every week.
Right.
He's disappeared. He's disappeared off the face of the earth, poor guy.
Now, Lin-Manuel Miranda, the inventor, founder of the Hamilton craziness, just a fabulous, fabulous show. And I know some of you are thinking, well, should I get tickets because a new block's going on sale for the holidays? Yes, you should. You absolutely should. But he seems to be, I've not met him, you've dealt with him many, many times. He seems to be a delightful guy. Is he delightful?
Very, very delightful.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Very delightful. And as we determined, we kind of accidentally stumbled upon a possible new segment this morning because over the weekend I was in Los Angeles and interviewed the cast of Star Wars. And I noticed that Mark Hamill, who plays Luke Skywalker, smelled very delightful.
Oh, he did?
He smelled fresh and just very, very delightful. And not that, well, I guess I have smelt a couple of other celebrities that were not so delightful.
Well, you sniff all your celebrities.
Well, I guess I'm going to now because we said this would be a very interesting new segment. And really, you're not seeing any of the other shows sniffing their guests.
No.
Well, some don't wear deodorant, though.
No.
Some, yeah, like Matthew McConaughey.
You told us previously the stinkiest celebrity. Was it McConaughey? I don't remember.
Sting.
Sting, too. Yeah.
Stink. Stink, as I like to now call him.
Yeah, Sting stunk. Yeah, I remember you telling us Sting stunk.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was...
And who would you say the best-smelling celebrity is?
Well, right now I'm going to say Mark Hamill.
Is that right?
It was just, like, freshly showered. You know, well, that, like
so
that kind of...
So would you say it's that kind of scent? More of an ocean breeze?
I would say like...
Field of flowers?
Yeah, no, not field of flowers. I would say more ocean breeze or maybe fresh linen.
Oh, sure. That's a nice smell.
Yeah. Like right. This is going to be the scent. If I was the Glade Company, I would come up with a scent.
A Hamill?
From Mark Hamill, but yeah. It would be like right out of the dryer smell.
So Skywalker would be the right out of the dryer smell.
Yeah, that was. That's how I'm going to rate the celebrities. Never mind. You know, everybody's rating movies.
Yeah.
You know, A, B, C, one star, five stars, whatever.
You're going to do it on noses?
Nobody is rating anything on how the people smell.
1 to 5 noses.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
It's the not Dean's List, but Dean's Sniff.
Dean's Sniff. I like it. I like it. Who would you say the best-smelling female you've interviewed?
Oh, boy.
Because there's more pressure on women to smell better.
There are. There are. And sometimes it can be too much.
Mm-hmm.
It can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Nicole Kidman was just the right.
That's got to be your field of flowers right there.
That was field of flowers, yeah. but not overwhelming because... You know, sometimes there can be too much cologne, and it, more than field of flowers, it's like a small evergreen tree that's hanging on your rearview mirror smell. That's too much.
Did you ever?
Will Ferrell smelled sort of oaky just hints of burlap.
I'm going to have to go back for a resniff on Will Ferrell. I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember any particular sniff on him.
Did you ever smell Elizabeth Hurley?
I just picture people just turning the radio on.
Well, I ask because she was in one time, I remember, and it was Spike's show.
Oh, he lost his mind.
Spike
he was like a 12-year-old
lost his
boy.
Mind, and I walked in the room. I almost keeled over.
Because
it was
of her smell?
Yeah, it was just so much cologne. It was overabundance.
That's too much. That's
it was Estee Lauder. Must have been, because that's her cosmetic
that's
company.
That's going to turn me off. Nothing's worth
but she
the
is,
too much.
She is crazy beautiful.
Well,
and
yeah.
She's, what, 52, 3, something like that?
She's 52.
Yeah, too much. She looks fabulous.
Nothing's worse than too much. It has to be just the right balance. And I have to say, I don't know if Mark Hamill was wearing any kind of cologne or anything, but it was the right balance of, that's a nice smell.
Interesting.
That's because we took a selfie together and we were cheek to cheek. We were literally cheek to cheek in this photo. So I got a really good sniff. I got a really good nostril full.
We'll come back and talk more harassment and other show business stories.
Which I think much of this conversation can qualify for, by the
kind
way.
Kind of can, yeah. But who was harassed? That's really the question. At 8:20, First Mary's here on 720 WGN.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9.
All right, we continue now with the sexual harassment report. So John Oliver is hosting a thing at the New School in, I think it was at the New School in New York City. And it's a retrospective on Wag the Dog, a movie which seems like we really hope it doesn't come true.
Yeah, which is now like a documentary.
Yeah, and Dustin Hoffman is on the panel. And John Oliver's show has become famous for taking on tough subjects and mocking them viciously and asking awkward questions. So in the midst of this, he started asking Dustin Hoffman about the accusations of sexual harassment, which go back, what, 30 years?
Yeah, yeah. He was allegation that was been made that he accosted a 17-year-old intern in his TV movie Death of a Salesman, which was 1985. So really, really goes back. And John Oliver, in this panel discussion, supposed to be about Wag the Dog, John Oliver says there's something that we have to talk about because it's hanging in the air. And, you know, he goes on to ask the question. Dustin Hoffman goes, hanging in the air, and then says, from a few things you've read, you've made an incredible assumption about me. But he says to John Oliver, sarcastically, you've made the case better than anyone else can. I'm guilty. He says, I'm guilty.
And the Washington Post reported this as a testy, sometimes ugly back and forth. Whereupon Hoffman said to Oliver, quote, you weren't there. And Oliver said, I'm happy I wasn't. And it continued for 30 minutes to the point where several people walked out. Some people cheered Oliver. Others heckled him. You know, I guess the only thing I'd come out of this with, I don't know about you, there's a time and a place for that, and I'm not sure this was it.
Yeah. Well, he felt like he had, you know, somebody who's been accused and wanted to get a comment from them.
Yeah.
And apparently did not anticipate that it was going to be something debate. Here, you know, here's just another example of how, I don't know exactly what Dustin Hoffman said, but when you are accused of something like that, you probably should have a one or two sentence response for the millions of times that you're going to be asked that would be your comment on it without turning it into a 30-minute debate. You know, it's not just sexual harassment. It's other things as well where people, you know, have a comment, have, you know, something that, you know, will either push the story off a little bit or say what it is that you want to say about it.
The people that paid a lot of money to go to this, I have not seen all of their comments, but it was a hot topic on Twitter last night. Something much darker from Netflix. Danny Masterson, who goes back to that 70s show, is on another, and what's his name?
Netflix show, the Ashton Kutcher,
yeah, the Ashton Kutcher
series
show.
And Sam Elliott. It's called The Ranch.
And there were three accusations of rape.
Yeah, now four. One more came out this morning. Netflix fired Danny Masterson this morning. The official word came out that he's out of the show. He's going to be written out of the show. You'll still see him in some of the episodes because they've already, you know, they're already done. But he's going to be slowly written out of the show, and he's gone while all of this is worked out. But Netflix has said over and over again that they have zero tolerance policy for any kind of sexual abuse. So that's part of it. Netflix also yesterday announced the future of House of Cards that everyone was wondering about, sixth and final season.
May not be now.
Well, it is going to go. They did say that there will be a sixth and final season.
No, but I'm saying it may not be the final season if it catches
on. Possibly. Possibly, that's very true. It's going to be focused on Robin Wright's character.
She's great.
Taking over after her husband's resignation from the presidency on the show. Kevin Spacey will no longer be on the show. He was fired by Netflix for all of the allegations of sexual misconduct around him. The filming is going to resume in January.
A fourth accuser has come forward against James Levine.
James Levin is Levin, okay. How I was mispronouncing it also. But he is the conductor of the Metropolitan Opera in New York. A fourth accuser has come forward saying that he was abused by Levine also. It's a young, I guess not so young man, but at the time it was started in 1968.
Wow.
The abuse, according to the accuser, continued for several years, and the accuser followed James Levine to two different cities.
Levine or Levin?
Levine.
Oh, it's Levine. Okay.
It's Levine, yeah.
Okay.
Followed him to two different cities, which is odd. I mean, if you're being abused by somebody,
yeah, I don't get that.
How does it go on for several years, and how do you follow somebody to another city? But that's his accusation. The Met has suspended him, but he was also associated with Ravinia for many years as the music director of Ravinia and Highland Park. Last night, Ravinia issued a statement saying that they are severing all ties with Levine because he was scheduled to begin a five-year stint as conductor laureate.
Yeah,
to appear next summer. So that ain't, as we say in the classical music world, Steve.
That ain't happening.
That ain't going to happen.
That ain't happening. We shortchanged the Hamilton tickets announcement. Tickets are on sale today?
This morning at 10 o'clock, new block of tickets that'll take the show to September. But the reason that we were talking about Lin-Manuel Miranda is that his wife is pregnant. They're expecting a new baby. And he's a fan saw them at an event and tweeted a question to Lin saying, "Is your wife pregnant?" And he responded, "Oh, hell yeah." So, you know, is there a more beautiful announcement than that?
Sweet. That's sweet.
Really of a new bundle of joy.
If it's a boy, will they name it Millard?
Manuel Miranda?
Yeah, Millard Manuel Miranda.
I can suggest that.
Yeah, well, please do. And Family Classics is back. This Friday, a lot of people are super excited about this. What do I need to know?
You need to clear your schedule, Steve, from 7 to 9 p.m. this coming Friday. We've brought back the original Family Classic set that Frazier Thomas and Roy Leonard used when they hosted the show for 38 years on WGN, showing these, you know, just fantastic movies. We're going to show Alistair Sim's version of Scrooge. It's the Christmas Carol story. And I'll be on the original set, and it's going to be this coming Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. I'll be standing behind Frasier's chair, the actual chair that Frasier used, the books, the bookcases, everything is back. You can tell me whether you think I'm wearing pants behind that chair.
We do prefer to make up our own story there. And I assume this is all live in the early days, but did eventually they just do like pre-taped wraparounds for
that? They did. That's right. Yeah. I think they were always pre-taped or maybe filmed.
Okay.
You know, because it started pretty early.
Well, 38 years. I mean, that had to be what, early 60s, mid-60s?
Yeah. I think, 1962. I have to go back and...
They used to chip it onto stone and then run it to people's houses.
That's right. Frasier would go to people's houses and redo the intro for everybody.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, we will talk to you later. Thanks for the update, and please put your pants on.
See, you do what you want, and I'll do what I want.
There you go. It's a free country. It's 8:33. Big story coming up. Andrea's off for a couple of days. We're back with, I believe, Ryan. Ryan Burrows in for Andrea next on 720 WGN.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
The Who for Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters. The original wing joint. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
We're going to be out at the MB building, the new practice facility. When is that, Dave? Is that next Friday?
It's next Monday, I believe, the 11th.
Oh, next Monday?
Yes.
All right, so next Monday we'll be out there, Coach. If you're looking for a place I'll be that you want to avoid, that's where I'll be Monday morning.
You're going to love it out here. What a spot. We're here now, and it's a spectacular.
I'll bet it
Can't
is.
Can't say enough nice things about how they did everything, the planning, and how beautiful everything is. It's a nice place.
Well, come by.
You did a great job.
Come by and hang out. It's good for your career. You know, trying to make it in show business. Coach Q, with us. Last time you were on, we had talked about jamming all these games in a short period of time, and coming away with 4 points I know is frustrating, but are we got some tired legs here, or what do you think's going on?
Well, disappointing, and for sure in the last game, and I thought the Dallas games, I thought they might have had more of the opportunity with the puck or more possession than we did. And then the LA game, we had a decent second period, but we didn't do enough good things in that game. And whether it was fatigue or a thought process, wasn't great. So obviously you come up with one below 500 in a 5-game stretch. Doesn't put you in a good spot knowing how our conference and our division's been winning. And we got to find a way to put ourselves in a better spot. We had a nice little run where all of a sudden we got playoff positioning, and that, and now every game was close, and then and not finding ways to win when the games were on the line was a little disappointing, whether it was scoring a key goal, a power play. But I thought that was games that we could have got more than the one or the none points.
Do you look at the power play and look for ways to get more shots? Because that, especially on Sunday night, that seemed to be an issue.
Yeah, for sure. Sunday was the they got a good penalty killing, probably the best in the league. And then, but our problem that game, which hasn't been a problem all year, is our entries with possession, and then having it clean and neat, and then maybe looking for better shots been a little bit of an issue. But I think we didn't get in zone sets or in zone looks there, where all of a sudden we had chances to get it to the net. But we lost momentum in the last few games with the our power plays not generating much, and then hence you not just get the scoring opportunities, but I think it affects the team game as well.
Anytime a team goes through a dry spell, people are going to look at particular players, and one guy who's obviously been going through one personally is Richard Panik, and you moved him down the other night. Is there anything you see with him?
You know, certain players, you know, the, you know, the frustration gets to them. I think everybody knows when they're not productive, and they're sometimes they start fighting it. And the puck's not as friendly as it can be. And in his case, I thought he got a little bit more comfortable with the puck, playing with Tommy and Boma. And then, so I think with him, it's just, you know, being, you know, want the puck, get engaged a little bit more physically. And then all of a sudden, you know, you might get an ugly goal at the net, or, you know, one might go off you. But I think you still can make a contribution to the team game by some physicality and then work your way through it. But that's, you know, everybody's going to go through droughts as a scorer or as a, you know, whether you're productive as a playmaker. Sometimes, you know, goals are hard to come by, and just find a make a way to where you're making a some type of a contribution to the team.
You seen enough shots? Are guys thinking too much?
I think our problem has been with the puck, and it's like whether it's poor putting in poor areas, or the puck management can be neater, cleaner, neater. When I say that, you know, put it where the chance we get to keep it. And it can be a better passes. Our passing can be a little erratic, and our shot selection. Last game, we had three basically empty nets that we didn't get a shot on the net, and we had another look that we look to make a better play. So, I think when it's time to cash in, we can also be that's part of our puck management that can be smoother and better. And I think that that's probably an area that this year there's definitely room for growth.
Anything new on Crawford?
Crow's doing better. We should get to find out a little bit later in the next little hour or so how he's doing again today. But we like the progress. I think he shouldn't be out, you know, should be seeing him on the ice in the next few days, and hopefully, you know, ready to play ASAP.
Yeah, and Forsberg has kept you guys in games. He hasn't gotten a ton of support, obviously, but I see a lot of good things from him.
Yes, I feel bad for him. Every time he goes in the net, he's got a chance to win the game, but we don't score the timely goal for him, or, you know, not like he's given up a ton of goals. I mean, he gives us a one or a nothing game with basically half a period to go, and we don't give him any action or any goals. So it's been he does what he can, and I think it's up to us to make him. It'll probably give him some confidence getting him a win or two, and it doesn't always have to be him winning hockey games for us.
Who's next for the Blackhawks, Dave?
The Washington Capitals tomorrow night in the nation's capital. I was going to say, maybe it would have been good to play them in October because they were scuffling a little bit, got off to a slow start, but now they're starting to play like the team that we've seen battling for the top spot in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and you know what? As much as I dislike Ovechkin, I'm going to have to admit he's pretty good.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He's got it going. He's hot. He's hot. He's got it going. When he gets hot, he scores, obviously more than anybody. But he's he'll be dangerous. And when he gets that, gets into the game early, he can. He's a handful. So let's be aware in a building that. It's tough to come out of there with points, and our history there is something that we got to make sure that we have better starts, and that'll be the focus going into tomorrow and mentioned today.
All right. Well, we hope to see you Monday. We'll be out there.
Look forward to it.
Fair warning.
The MB Financial Bank. What's the name of the building? The MB Financial Bank. Joel Quenneville.
That's it.
Building.
That's it.
I think that's it.
Yeah,
I might be a little wrong there, Coach. But thanks. Enjoy the day. All right, I have the Time shortlist. These are the 10 finalists for Person of the Year. Dave, Mary, as you know, this is not necessarily someone that has done something exceptionally great. Could be a real jerk.
Someone who is impacting the world.
In one way or another.
Yes.
All right. Colin Kaepernick is on the list.
Okay.
Jeff Bezos.
Okay.
Now the richest man in the world.
Richest man in the world.
Worth $100 billion.
Ridiculous.
It's a lot of money.
I think so.
Yeah. President Trump.
Okay, he made the list.
He won it last year, and he's on it again. Kim Jong-un.
Okay.
What if it was like Trump and Kim Jong-un and they had to share the cover?
And they have to come to the presentation together?
Whew, awkward.
Well, we know it's not Trump. They said it's not Trump.
So far, there's a theme.
Well, they didn't say it wasn't Trump. They yeah, said, they said
they
it
did.
Wasn't.
No, they already know who it is.
They said they didn't eliminate him entirely because the shortlist just came out.
But they've already selected the winner. They just named the shortlist to kind of tease everybody.
So and you know for sure it's not Trump?
My understanding was they said it wasn't him.
I thought
did they call you?
They did not call me. I was not on. I have not been on the list for several years now.
Have you guys
now,
noticed a theme with these people so
what
far?
What do you mean?
They all have weird hair.
Kim Jong-un,
Trump,
Bezos, no hair,
Colin
Kaepernick. Yeah,
Kaepernick.
You're right. Let's see
thing.
If that continues.
Yes.
Patty Jenkins, who broke boundaries with her film Wonder Woman. Now, she has delightful hair.
Yeah. Hers is not bad.
President Xi of China. His hair seems fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good hair.
The Me Too movement.
How can a movement be?
Has there been a movement that could be a person of the year?
I think there has been.
Yeah, really? I think. Didn't Black Lives Matter?
Oh, was it? Could be.
And remember, we were talking about this the other day in the newsroom. Remember a few years ago, they named you as the person of the year.
Yes.
And it was just a mirror.
Me? And they said, yes, you.
You, like they put a mirror on the cover.
Yeah.
And you want a MyPillow.
Yeah. Yes. Dreamers. Dreamers. Yes, dreamers. Also a possibility. Mohammed bin Salman, the de facto leader of Saudi Arabia, boycott of Qatar and rounding up relatives and other billionaires in Saudi Arabia, taking their money and keeping them prisoner. By the way, their prison is apparently a 6-star hotel where they're kept. And Robert Mueller. Don't you think Mueller's got to be the guy?
I don't know.
Is it too early for him to be the guy because you don't know what he found yet?
I think if I were betting on it, I'd put my money on the Me Too movement.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too.
You think Me Too?
Yeah, Me Too.
Okay. But that doesn't include us. It's not like when it was you.
No.
Yeah,
this would be them.
All right. We'll try to get all of this straight without giving myself a headache. But in the meantime, let's go to the newsroom.
That's okay.
What if it had a Northwestern logo on it?
Now, that I could probably get on board with. But this one. But you put the clothes over the to iron them, so
I know,
you won't
but when
see the purple.
I know, I know, but it's I see it because we leave it up in the laundry room because you know it's a laundry room. But
and you have
a
lot of ironing going on.
No, it's more of a lavender. There's actually a little bit of a sparkle to it, but I feel like all ironing board covers have that. But it's a really nice cover, so I'm undecided.
What did it cost?
$9.99.
If I gave you $50 and said go order all of them, would that make you happy?
That would. Merry Christmas, Mary.
If I thought of it right now, I don't even know what color my ironing board cover is.
Really?
Aren't they all white usually?
I think it's like an off-white. It's got a pattern on it.
No, the one we had on there was, it was like a green check because it came from Pat's mom.
This is another reason it's harder to be a girl. A, you got to know all that stuff that we previously covered. B, you worry about the color of your ironing board cover. Dave, I'll give you $1 million if you can tell me the color of your ironing board cover.
It is taupe.
I don't think it's dope. I think we both know it's nude. It's 9:31. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
Well, it's Anna again. Anna on the guitar. Shredding it.
Great.
Yeah.
I don't think Roe takes full advantage of her talents.
Music. Anna and her axe?
Yeah.
The A in Anna is for axe. Yeah. 9:43. Mary Vandeveld, we were talking before about the time list of the short list of potential people of the year, and one of them was a cause, the Me Too cause. Another was a group, the Dreamers group. You found others?
Yeah, and most of them have been geared towards women. We had the feminine mystique, not sure what the year on that, American Women in 1975, and the whistleblowers in 2002.
I do remember the whistleblowers.
Yeah, 2002 already. So there were a couple of movements there.
The American Women thing from the 70s, that was probably for the ERA, right? The Equal Rights Amendment?
Yeah, I would assume 75. Mm-hmm.
Because that was right about that time.
But this feminine mystique was it was probably, I'm guessing, in the 20s because it was before 36. So it was probably flapperish era.
Yeah.
You know, Gadsby, feminine mystique. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but it's not the first time. And I'm with you guys now. Me too. That's the inside pick.
Oh, yeah.
The inside
for sure.
Favorite for Time's Person of the Year.
I agree.
All right, here are the hot Christmas items you got to buy before they're gone. These are the hot items. I'm going to run through these fast. The hot gin and tonic set that you need. It's actually not a complete new invention. Back in the old London, people would drink hot gin to stay warm, but it makes a beautiful Christmas drink. It's Sipsmith for hot gin and tonic.
I love the gin and tonic.
Do you like hot gin and tonic?
I don't know. I've never had one.
Well, you should try it. Sipsmith, S-I-P Smith. The hottest Christmas wrapping this year. Do you know what color it is?
Hottest purple? Christmas wrapping? What do you mean?
Brown.
That's okay.
What if it had a Northwestern logo on it?
Now, that I could probably get on board with. But no, this catch. One.
But you put the clothes over the to iron them, so
I know,
you won't
but when
see
it's,
the purple.
I know. I know. But it's I see it because we leave it up in the laundry room because, you know, it's a laundry room. But
and you have a lot of purple? Ironing going on.
No, it's more of a lavender. There's actually a little bit of a sparkle to it, but I feel like all ironing board covers have that. But it's a really nice cover, so I'm undecided.
What did it cost?
$9.99.
If I gave you $50 and said go order all of them, would that make you happy?
That would. Merry Christmas, Mary.
If I thought of it right now, I don't even know what color my ironing board cover is.
Really?
Aren't they all white usually?
I think it's like an off-white. It's got a pattern on it.
No, the one we had on there was it was like a green check because it came from Pat's mom.
This is another reason it's harder to be a girl. A, you got to know all that stuff that we previously covered. B, you worry about the color of your ironing board cover. Dave, I'll give you $1 million if you can tell me the color of your ironing board cover.
It is taupe.
I don't think it's dope. I think we both know it's nude. It's 9:31. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
Well, it's Anna again. Anna on the guitar. Shredding it.
She's great.
Yeah.
I don't think Roe takes full advantage of her talents.
Music. Anna and her axe?
Yeah.
The A in Anna is for axe. 9:43. Mary Vandeveld, we were talking before about the time list of the short list of potential people of the year, and one of them was a cause, the Me Too cause. Another was a group, the Dreamers group. You found others?
Yeah, and most of them have been geared towards women. We had the feminine mystique. Not sure what the year on that. American Women in 1975. And the Whistleblowers in 2002.
I do remember the Whistleblowers.
Yeah, 2002 already. So there were a couple movements there.
The American Women thing from the 70s, that was probably for the ERA, right? The Equal
Rights
Amendment?
Yeah, I would assume 75. Mm-hmm.
Because I was right about that time.
But this feminine mystique was it was probably, I'm guessing, in the 20s because it was before 36, so it was probably flapperish era.
Yeah.
You know, Gadsby, feminine mystique. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but it's not the first time. And I'm with you guys now. Me too. That's the inside pick.
Oh, yeah.
The inside
for sure.
Favorite for Time's Person of the Year.
I agree.
All right, here are the hot Christmas items you got to buy before they're gone. These are the hot items. I'm going to run through these fast. The hot gin and tonic set that you need. It's actually not a complete new invention. Back in the old London, people would drink hot gin to stay warm, but it makes a beautiful Christmas drink. It's Sipsmith for hot gin and tonic.
I love the gin and tonic.
Do you like hot gin and tonic?
I don't know. I've never had one.
Well, you should try it. Sipsmith, S-I-P Smith. The hottest Christmas wrapping. This year. Do you know what color it is?
Hottest purple? Christmas wrapping? What do you mean?
Brown paper wrapping.
Ooh.
Is the hot color this
probably
year.
Probably it's ecological.
Brown paper wrapping. That's the big one this
year.
Oh.
Recyclable?
Like recycled bag type of paper?
I don't know.
Because that's okay. I've seen a lot of that.
No, it's not recycled bags. This is actual wrapping paper.
Yeah, you can get like at a shipping store, you know, packaging, like at the post office, they have brown paper on rolls because sometimes when you send a box, like if you're sending a coffee maker and you don't want it to say
coffee
maker.
Yeah, but this is actual Christmas paper.
Oh, yeah, it's Christmas paper. And like 12 years ago, I did all brown paper with real ribbon. You know, like that was a thing. It was like a Martha Stewart thing.
Like the real ribbon being not the rope stuff like you'd find at the post office.
Yeah, like cloth ribbon. Oh, okay. And it was plaid. I did plaid. And I will tell you that it was a big fail.
Ew.
Even though it looked pretty under the tree, everyone I gave gifts to, including children, were like disappointed because it was like too pretty and not as festive looking, if that makes sense.
See, you know what that would remind me of? Book covers. Remember, we used to make book covers out of paper bags?
Yeah, that's what it would
remind me of.
Yeah. Sure. So people didn't like it, just so you know.
How about the bath bomb filled Christmas gift set? What are bath bombs?
Oh, you put them in the bath and they explode.
Nasty.
And like, they're colored. Oh, Catherine loves them, but they leave like glitter on the tub and stuff.
And they like turn really nasty colors in the tub. And they smell.
So they look like an oil spill?
Yeah, a bunch of companies have them.
Bright blue, purple, pink. Kids love them.
They explode in the tub, and you're supposed to take baths.
And they're pretty shapes, like it might
but
be
are they
a unicorn.
Soap?
No, it's like bubble bath, kind of.
They don't make any bubbles, though.
No,
they
but I mean, it's like
color.
A fun thing to do in the bath when
so
you're relaxed.
Just chemicals.
Yeah, you can get like a lavender one that's relaxing.
It's taking bath in a bunch of chemicals is what it is. My mother got some for Christmas and gave them to me. And she was like,
wait, your mom?
Yeah.
Why would your mom want those?
Well, she got some.
She didn't want them. That's why she gave them to
she
Mary.
She gave them to me. She said, here, take these things. I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, she doesn't take baths anymore anyway. But, yeah, they kind of exploded.
The big box of nostalgic sweets for Christmas Day. This is all the old school candy like you could get next door at Dillon's.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. But apparently it's selling out very, very quickly. Favorite candy from when you were a kid, Dave? I bet you were a sugar daddy guy.
I really didn't eat much candy.
Of course you did.
Shocker.
Of course you did.
Well, his dad was a dentist. He probably never had candy.
But that's true. That's true. But I think if I had to pick one, probably would have been Reese's.
That's not old fashioned.
That's not old school enough. I'm talking about stuff you can't really get anymore.
Pixie
sticks. I like the wax bottles.
Oh, the wax coat
bottles. Like the wax lips, too?
Yeah, no, not the wax lips, but the wax bottles where you'd bite the top off and then there was fluid inside.
Yeah.
I like what were the ones you picked off the paper? The little dots you picked off the paper.
They were dots, weren't they? Were they called dots?
No, I don't know.
I think they're called dots.
I think they're called dots.
I used to eat those all the time.
Yeah. I think they're called dots.
They tasted like paper, though.
That's because the paper, you couldn't get it off. Like,
I know.
Paper was always on it still.
Christmas candles from Neom, N-E-O-M, Neom Organics. The hottest candle, the must-have candle for the Christmas season. More gin, a pack of gin baubles to decorate your tree. They're tiny gin bottles, actually filled with gin on hook ornaments.
These are right up my alley.
I cannot stand gin.
Really? You don't like gin?
Oh, I love gin.
Never touched gin.
This is the only booze we've ever come across that you don't like.
I thought,
no, that's not true. But
you don't like scotch, do you, Dave?
No, not once in a while.
I'm a big scotch
fan. I know you're a scotch drinker.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put a scotch ornament on my tree. That would send the wrong message.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
I find it hard to believe that this is a hot Christmas item.
Yeah, really.
But it's a hot Christmas item, according to Amazon, the Snuggly Unicorn Onesie.
Oh, unicorns are hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the snuggly onesie would be a good thing?
Yeah. There's, you know, like last year, Catherine and all our friends for Halloween went as animals that are onesies. That's a thing right now, in case you don't know.
What does that mean, animals that are onesies?
You know what a onesie is?
Well, yeah, you put them on babies.
Yeah, so they're like adult size and teenage size. And
with
they're
the snaps
and
the on
head,
the bottom?
The head, well, no, you zip into it now because you're able to, you're not worried about them breaking out of it. But the head is a different animal head.
Oh.
There's a horse, you know, a seal.
And here's another one I'm not familiar with. The Instax camera, do you know about this? The Instax camera, it's like an old Polaroid. It spits a picture out of the side of the little camera.
I heard about this. This is a big thing now.
$60.
People are going back to the Polaroids.
The problem is, because we gave Catherine a Polaroid 2 years ago,
I didn't even know they still sold Polaroids.
Yeah, because Taylor Swift made it popular, because in her 1989 album, there was all these Polaroids in it. But the film, like, you have to keep buying the film. So it's like a gift that keeps costing you money.
Where do they sell the film? They still sell it at Walgreens?
We order it on
like
Amazon.
This?
I don't
you
know
have
if
to
you
order
can get
it
in the store. It's not easy to find.
Yeah. And do you remember the worst part about the Polaroid? The stack bulbs, the flash bulbs, they were 10,000 degrees. Yeah. It would melt, and you'd always char your hands on them. Mm, good times. But I think you and I were talking about this. The thing that I think is interesting about kids now, photos are disposable. They take pictures of everything. There's nothing special about pictures anymore.
No, and they delete it.
Yeah, it's gone.
Right. Yeah, they don't have any
Instagrams. Yeah.
So like when Abigail has kids of her own someday, my 2 year old, almost 2 year old granddaughter, and the kids bring home Christmas pictures, will she take them and throw them out? Ha! Who needs these?
You know what? Though a lot of college kids like getting pictures, and they hang them in their dorm room.
We gotta hang something.
Well, yeah, because it's a reminder of the people you miss.
And their memories.
You know? It's memories. Yeah. But you don't have to search your phone for the memory. It's right in your face.
And how many times have you had that where somebody goes, hey, you got to see this? And then you're standing there where they're going, what did I do with it? What did I do with it?
Yeah, exactly. And you're waiting and you're waiting.
And do you remember the first Instamatic cameras that came out with the cartridge? I mean, that was like revolutionary. We just, okay, now I'm dating myself. But it was really not.
Remind me.
Okay, so it was, I think Kodak came out with them.
Yeah, Kodak
and you got a cartridge. Instead of having to spool the reel of film in camera, you just took this cartridge.
Popped it in,
slammed the door of the camera, and you're off. Yeah. And they had those flash cubes, mm-hmm. so you get four flashes off of each one as opposed to the flash bulbs, which you use once and had to toss them.
And then you took it to Walgreens and you were
photo
super
mat.
Excited.
Yeah. Remember the photo mats?
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Boy, are we old.
I drove by a Meijer, and they still have the sign up on the Meijer, on the outside of the Meijer, 1 hour photo processing. I mean, how can that be a marketing thing? Who needs that?
I'll tell you, at Walgreens, though, the photo thing is always hopping by
us.
It's
always busy. Yeah, same here.
I mean, and you can, like, you're waiting. It's like, come on. Yeah. But, like, Catherine and her friends get pictures printed out. Like,
for fun. Changing.
Yeah.
The world's changing back to the way it should be.
Yeah, got to do photo albums again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There you go.
9:52, Bill and Wendy coming up. I want to remind you of a couple of things, though. The 15th annual WGN Drive-Through Toy Drive is coming up. It'll be this Friday from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. A big lineup of celebrities and carolers. And Chance the Rapper will be there?
I think he is.
My
he is because I think
Chance
Dean
is stopping by.
Yeah, he's stopping by. He was at the Bulls game last night. Mm. He got a big ovation.
So that's 5 to 10.
Yeah.
And this is a part of a larger situation involving Social Work Chicago.
Correct.
Socialworkshy.eventbrite.com to see their presentation of A Night at the Museum, 6 to 9 p.m. on December 20th at the Field Museum. It's a party to show the nature of giving. And all sorts of cool social work stuff going on that night and special folks around from the Bulls, from Tiesta Tea, the Children's Choir of Chicago, Frost Lighting, and many, many other sponsors. And they're going to collect donations for Chicago's homeless. They ask that all attendees consider bringing a donation for the warmth kits they're putting together. Bring coats and hats and gloves and scarves and socks and canned goods, and you'll be a rock star, and that'll get you in for a night at the museum, movie night at the Field.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I know this morning they just dropped off 4,000 backpacks for kids that don't have backpacks.
It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. So thank you to Chance, and thank you to Social Works Chicago. 9:53, Bill and Wendy coming up.